listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
I love thy kingdom, Lord, the house of thine abode, the church our blessed Redeemer saved with his own precious blood. We often think of churches, we think of denominations, but the church is really the body of Christ. In Ephesians we read, therefore as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. Later in that same chapter, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he called the church the pillar and ground of the truth. It is those that Christ died for, it is those that he saves, and it is also those that he uses to be his witness throughout the world. Listen to the last stanza of this song. Sure as thy truth shall last, to Zion shall be given the brightest glories earth can yield, and brighter bliss of heaven. I would like to consider again the need of prayer, particularly for kings and for all that are in authority, but for ourselves as well, the church, all of us together. We need to begin with ourselves as Paul did, who wrote these words to Timothy. It was said of him, behold, he prayeth. I'd like to read now the first part of the second chapter of 1 Timothy. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus, one who was born in due time, one of whom it is written, when the fullness of time was come, thou didst send thy Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them under the law. And Father, we confess that we are all under thy law that is just and holy and good, and we are, in light of it, carnal, sold under sin. As Paul could write to another church, we pray, Father, that we might be made to realize it rightly in repentance, and that we might also then have that blessed forgiveness through Christ and adoption into thy family because of him, that we can cry, Abba, Father. We pray that that law may be a schoolmaster to many today, that we may know, Father, that we are guilty before thee and stand in need of him, as we read, one mediator between thee, God, and men. We give thanks for such a mediator, and we pray, Lord Jesus, that thou wilt be our mediator even now on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us and all of the rest of the world, described as all men, but also described here particularly as kings and all that are in authority. And we pray for them. We pray that we might also rightly think of them, rightly honor them, rightly obey them, rightly submit to them, and that we may know that there are no powers that be, but are of thee. We pray for the church to be revived, that it can again be a salt and a light in every nation. We pray, Father, for our homes, that they might be established and healed that are broken. We pray for the church to teach rightly. We pray for those in sickness, those in sorrow, those in injury, those, Father, that are in older age and lonesomeness. We pray for the many needs that there are in different ways, body, mind, but above all, the soul, that it might be right with thee through Christ, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. As we look once again at these words, thinking of the need of prayer, it is a great need. We are told throughout Scripture to pray. We are told to pray without ceasing. We are told by the Lord Jesus to pray in His name. And if we do, the Father will hear us. And even now we need to pray that He will teach us to rightly pray, both according to the will of the Father, and pray rightly in that name of Christ, that we do not take it lightly, that we do not take it as we are warned not to take the name of God in vain. We can repeat these things so lightly, so foolishly, so quickly, and not knowing what we think we know. Here, Paul begins with, I exhort. We could say, giving a command. We could also say, in a way, giving a reproof. In a way, it's a question. It could be all of these things. It could also be translated desire. Probably be a weaker word. But whatever it is Paul's will, and Paul is speaking by the inspiration of God, and then we know that it's God's will, that first of all, again, prayer, in a very important place, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Four different ways to describe prayer. A supplication. Supplicate before the Lord. It gives a picture of earnestness. It gives a picture of a great need. Supplicate. We don't supplicate for something we aren't desperately in need of. And we are desperately in need in the present time. And basically at all time. When we think of Paul writing this, he was writing near the end of his life. He would write another letter to Timothy a little later, probably the following year. And he would write in that letter that he said, I am ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. he was in the hands of the Romans. He had been bound, and he wrote many of his letters from being bound in prison and under the Roman authority. And he would write even that we should be in subjection to government, though he was not under what we could call, in many ways, a good government. It had done evil things. It was persecuting Christians, and Paul was one of them. And yet he is saying here, in a very general way, but for himself, a very particular way, that supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Certainly, there's always something to give thanks for, even when it is a time of supplication. We think of the terrible time of Jeremiah. After warning the people for years and years, the leaders as well, sometimes the leaders, the king coming to him and asking a message of the Lord, and Jeremiah would tell him, and he would say, don't tell even the people that I asked of you or spoke with you, and Jeremiah would tell him what to do. But at the same time, Jeremiah, and especially even after destruction came, Jerusalem destroyed, the walls broken down, the temple burnt, the king carried away captive, and many had been killed. He said, to God and of God, thy mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Yes, when we are told to make supplication, prayers, intercession, we are also told giving of thanks. Later, Daniel, who was one of the captives in Babylon, prayed, and he was there, a captive. He knew the terrible condition of Jerusalem and Judea. He knew also why, he said, we and our fathers have sinned, but he had a reason to give thanks. He had read in the book of Jeremiah, who had written during that time of warning, during that time of destruction, he wrote 70 years would be accomplished on Judah and Jerusalem, and then there would be a return after 70 years. Daniel saw that, pleaded on it, prayed on it, understood by the books of what Jeremiah wrote. So there was a reason to give thanks. And we find Daniel often doing that, as well as Jeremiah. Both of them in far worse conditions than I am, and many of us, some of you, as this message may reach you, may be under persecution. You may be in fear. You may have a government that was forbid you to believe or warn you not to preach the gospel. You may be amongst the persecuted ones, as we mentioned last week, the terrible things that are happening in some countries. But here is the order, and nobody can say, well, Paul can talk. Paul knew. Read his words in the second letter to the Corinthians, of all that he went through, the beatings. 5 times with rods, 200 stripes, stoned, imprisoned, terrible suffering, famine, shipwreck. I probably know no man that suffered worse and did better. We could say it both ways. No man that did as well as Paul did in obeying God, and no one suffered more. They picked him up or looked at him for dead when they stoned him, and he arose. God gave him life. But he suffered terribly. So he is here speaking, and speaking not too long before the end of his life, speaking of praying especially for kings and all their authority. Let me read to you what he wrote to the church at Rome, the Gentile church at Rome, with a Roman government, and not a Christian government. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. This is Romans chapter 13, verse 1. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God, Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. And then, Father, we are told to be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. We are to pay tribute. We are to render to all their dues. This is the teaching that was written there almost 2,000 years ago, 1,900 and some years, written under a heathen government. And this is what Paul wrote to the Christians to do. And we are to do that. I think also of an opposite picture that Jude wrote of what people would do, which was not right. He speaks of those who have crept into the church unawares. And we should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. We should, yes, contend for the faith which saves a soul from death, from hell, for the forgiveness of sins. But it's a very broad faith. That faith includes praying in faith to God for kings and for those in authority. That's part of contending for the faith. We should contend ourselves and then contend, say, let's do it together. I've mentioned the previous meetings where Christ said, if two of you agree on earth touching anything, it will be done. Can we pray together as a nation for kings and for authority? Or do we just want to pray for my king, my man, my president, my congressman, my governor? Lord, put him in. Is that the answer? Not unless we have what's written here, Father, who will have all men to be saved. Are you contending and helping a man that God has saved? Given a knowledge of himself, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom God has sent? One that is walking according to the word, and we can thankfully say that we can do this in our country. We have freedom to do it. We have freedom to confess Christ. One of our past presidents spoke very plainly of Jesus Christ as his friend, his advisor. And he couldn't tell us to do it, but he could speak of it himself, and anyone can. And our leaders of the past have spoken of God, have prayed to God. And we have that right, thankfully. And that's one of the things that we can be thankful for in this country, when we can sympathize with those in other countries that cannot have this blessed privilege. And we can pray for them. We can pray for you, that you also might have a king, a ruler, a man in authority that will help you and give to you, that you might have a quiet and peaceable life, instead of all the war that is raging in so many countries. Yes, pray. I will have all men to pray. 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 Can't say it too often. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks, be made for all men. I think also what Jude wrote, why we should contend for that faith, which covers justification, also sanctification, and prepares us for glorification. But we read here when Jude says of these that will come in unawares and should make us all more vigilant to contend for the faith, urging us to do like Paul did Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Here when he speaks of those who will creep in unawares and the different things they will bring, the different vices they will be guilty of. He says, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Father, he says, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's person and admiration because of advantage. We are a blessed nation, but we are also a selfish nation. We want it our way, and because of advantage for ourselves. Yes, we could go into many details of our government and of us as a people and the situation that is there, but we must give thanks. We must give thanks that it's as good as it is. We must give thanks that in the midst of evil that is taking place, there are good things. On one hand, we can thank God that we still have the blessings of the past that have come down to us, that we ourselves have not earned, and in some ways we are despising them, we're throwing them away. We do not want to continue in what God has given to our forefathers and the blessings of it, the government that has been set up and given to us, handed to us in our generation, and we don't seem to want to do it. But God can do it. He can do what is needed, whether it be a president, a king, a prime minister, or whatever name we give to one that is in authority. And that is very plain. There's different kinds of government rulers, but they are, by God, put in authority. Remember again those words. There be no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. We probably should be more careful. I think when we have the nation that we have and different parties, we speak one against another. If we had a king that would rule and another would come in his place without our choosing him, we would probably not dare to speak as foolishly, wickedly, carelessly as we do. We might be in trouble, but we have the freedom not only to speak right things, but sadly we have much freedom to speak wrong things. We should have our mouths stopped in one way, not being murmurers, complainers. We should be prayer warriors. Prayer. Much of what is taking place in our country at the present time, we think of numbers. We think of money. Those two things seem to be very much in the forefront. We need these numbers. We need this money. Do you know that when God delivered Israel at one point, the time of the judges, he told Gideon he had too many people? Send some home. I'm going to deliver Israel with less people, lest they say, we did it. I heard a person speak, and he said, what has been done oft times in countries has been done by minorities. Yes, communism in Russia wasn't done by the majority. That is true for evil as well as for good. But just remember, God is in control. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. We need to think of that. And that's why God simply tells us to submit, to obey, to honor. Peter says, honor the king. That's part of Peter's message to those that he wrote to first and to us. And then if this isn't right, pray to God. Make supplication. Be in prayer. Make intercession, both for those in authority, for all men. God can change any evil man. God can stop him. God even stopped Manasseh, the wicked king, the son of Hezekiah, did wickedness all his life. And then we read in God's holy word that he took him among the thorns and taught him. Yes, this can and has taken place. We can pray for it. Like Paul, who wrote this, was a persecutor. Now he's Paul the Apostle, writing to Timothy and to us and to all others to pray for the good of the nation. What if this would take place and God would answer in every nation? what a change there would be. It says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." What if our leaders were all pricked in their hearts and would say to the church, say to preachers, "What must we do?" Like they did on the day of Pentecost. And the answer would come loud and clear, plainly, rightly. As Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost." That can be said to every leader. If we would pray for them, and they would ask. Paul preached to King Agrippa. He said, "Almost thou persuadest me." Sadly, it was almost, and not all the way, as Paul later said to him. But God can do this, and God is not only telling us that we might lead quiet and peaceable lives. That is one thing, one part of the answer to prayer for ourselves. But for them and for God's glory, this is acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Savior of the down and outs. Savior of the up and outs. Yes, he's saved preachers, numerous preachers, Martin Luther being one of them, a monk, many others they could mention. And then they could truly preach Christ. They had preached before the law, preached self-righteousness, preached different things, social gospel. I've read some of them in past messages referring to them. There are many of their lives recorded. God can save any man. He will have all men to be saved. That doesn't necessarily mean every individual. It sadly didn't include Pharaoh. God said, "For this purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power." And he did. Pharaoh had said earlier, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him?" He found out in his rebellion. And God can do that too to any leaders. He can put them down in a day, in a night, in a moment. But he also can save them who have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth. For Jesus told those who believed on him and then did not seem to have repented, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Pray that God will so work with his Holy Spirit in the church, in the home, in our governments, that we will come to the knowledge of the truth as it is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise the Lord.